Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Today I'm talking with Mike Chastain, the owner, founder, and leader of Absolute Plumbing, which serves the Northwest Atlanta metro area. Mike has built a very successful plumbing company, but he wants more growth and more success. So today we're going to talk with him about where he is, where he's been, and where he's going. The Service Nation team is very impressed with Mike, and they say Mike is going to be wildly successful. So Mike Chastain, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you for having me.
So start us off at the beginning. How did you get into this great industry?
Well, me and my wife of 29 years now, a couple of the first times we did something we weren't supposed to do and she got pregnant. So this was the ninth grade of high school. My best friend's dad had just started a new construction plumbing company. He had made a comment, hey, you know, it looks like you're going to need a job. My dad's hiring a new start company. So I started there and went from ninth grade to R&R Plumbing in Acworth, Georgia. I did new construction plumbing there for 20 years before the housing market fell.
Wow. And so the housing market fell and then you started your own plumbing company. Was that it?
Yeah. So it kind of went that way. Of course, they got hit by the recession. We were a $390 million plumbing company.
Wow.
And the chips fell like dominoes, of course, when the houses, you know, we went through that trouble. So I didn't have a choice to, you know, at that time, nobody was hiring. Everybody was scared. Nobody knew what was going on. So I was in fight or flight mode and went and got me a pickup truck and just started doing odd and end plumbing jobs. You know, just at the time, it was just to feed the family and keep the bills paid, you know, slowly grew to what it is now. But I call it divine intervention. I think, you know, I believe I'm a Christian, so I believe God puts us in things that we can handle and he points us in that direction.
So looking back on it, although it was a painful time, ultimately it caused you to start your own business and you're pretty happy about that?
Yes, I am grateful that it did happen the way it does. You know, sometimes when you go through struggles in life, you don't understand the reasoning at the time. And then you get, you know, down the road and you understand, wow, God did have a plan for me and it all did work out. So I can't complain.
Fantastic. So tell us about Absolute Plumbing now.
So Absolute Plumbing started in 2008, of course. I started out, I went doing ends and odd jobs and then my background was new construction, so I gravitated towards new construction, started doing new homes. I got a couple custom builders that it kind of grew, and then I ended up with big home builders and multifamily. And I did that from 2008 to 2020 when COVID hit. When COVID hit, that's when I realized the supply houses were making all the money and I wasn't. and then I started getting really paranoid about what had happened, you know, at my former job when it went under with new construction. So yeah. I went home, I got with my wife and I was like, look, Katie, we've got to do something to pivot the company so we can be a little more recession proof. And I'm tired of living on the edge. I'm tired of spending my Thursdays chasing checks. You know, what all comes along with new construction. So we hired a business coach at that time and he taught us how to advertise, brand, all the stuff that goes into service because we didn't even know where to start. So he helped us along a little bit. He wasn't the greatest coach in the world. I'm not going to mention any names, but he was a good, you know, starter coach anyway. So just, and everything I've learned about service, I scour the internet, I'm on Facebook and really you've got to be careful with that as a new owner. You've got to be careful with who you're mingling with for business because a lot of these guys are sharks looking to attack with bloody water, you know?
So, I mean, it sounds like it's been a lot of work and a struggle. Ultimately, you're pretty happy. How would you describe the experience of owning your own plumbing business?
I would describe it as riding a roller coaster. You know, you have your highs, but your highs are followed by extreme lows. And like I said before, you don't realize when you're in the struggle, but there's a lesson in that struggle. And I don't think, as like, say, a new company owner, I don't think you can make it to where you need to be without going through those struggles. Everybody's searching for the magic secret. And You know, I think failure is the magic secret. It's how you recover from those failures that make you who you eventually become.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Nobody goes into business and makes no mistakes, right? Just doesn't happen.
On the other side, it looks great, man. You think they've got all the money in the world, they're happy, but no, that's far from the truth.
Yeah. Do you have any family in the business?
Yes, I didn't come up in the plumbing trade, but I have grown kids now that work for me. I have a daughter that is one of my CSRs, and I've got two sons. One's adopted and the other is my blood son. They both work for me here as technicians.
Oh, fantastic. Is your wife involved in the business at all?
She is. She is our office manager, so she's the boss here. You know, everything goes through Katie. She does more work than I could ever thank her for. You know, she spends a lot of nights up till 2 o'clock in the morning putting us on, you know, this site, that site to keep these phones ringing. That's a full-time job. So she doesn't get the credit she deserves sometimes, but she does a lot. And we're a team. We're a power couple.
Well, that's awesome. You like having family in the business?
Oh, I love it. Getting to spend time with my kids. You know, when I was young, I started plumbing at a young age. By the time we were 20, 21, we had three kids already.
Wow.
So surviving and paying bills, and I couldn't have did it without being able to hustle every day. I was working 7 days a week, you know, getting any job I could get my hand on to keep them fed, clothes on their back. So to have them in my business now that they're grown, I love it. I love working side by side with my son and my daughter. And, you know, it's not as fun with the wife because you have to bring it home. And sometimes it's hard to separate that.
Yeah.
We do a fairly good job at that.
Yeah, I read recently, by the time your child is 18 or so and leaves the house, that you have spent 90% of the time that you will spend with that kid at that point. The rest of your life and his or her life only be 10% more time. But if you're working with them in the business, you get more time. That's really a blessing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It definitely is. And to back up a little bit, we worked at R&R. I worked at R&R Plumbing in Ackworth with my brother. My brother was 22 years old and was headed to a job site and hit a dump truck head on in 2002, killed him instantly. So that is another driving force behind who I am and what I do now is that day changed me forever. And it's another reason I enjoy working with my kids now because I was only 24 at the time. My brother was 22. And then spending all these years raising my kids, that was my biggest fear that something was going to happen to them. So being able to spend any bit of quality time with my kids, I thoroughly enjoy it. And when you go through something like that, it opens your eyes to, you know, what life is all about. And sometimes the things we worry about isn't as big as we think it is.
Yeah, it's a good lesson. I'm so sorry to hear about your brother. That's a horrible loss.
Right.
Sorry about that.
It'll be, 24 years this year. So time's passed and I understand it happened for a reason and God has his plan and he served his purpose here and we'll meet back up one day. So I know he's with me and I know he would love what we're doing here.
So you recently joined Service Nation. What caused you to join and what has been your experience since joining?
So I was on one of the best practice pages that's on Facebook and I had went through some struggles this last year. So I had made a post on there about I was a little down and out at the time. And one of my competitors, one of my biggest competitors reached out to me and man, it was really humbling. I didn't expect somebody that was so close to competition like that to reach out. I mean, it was Richard Florney with Atotal Plumbing.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he read my post and he understood the struggle I was going through and he wanted to help me. So he set a meeting up with you guys and I met Jim at Richard's shop and heard the whole, you know, presentation, which sounded great. I heard Richard's life story and then his story with you guys and what it did for him. And I'll be honest, I've been through a few Facebook coaches and it didn't turn out well. they were more in it for the money than they were for helping. So my wife was really hesitant about even signing up with anybody ever again. So, you know, I went back and I said, you know, Katie, I watched this presentation. I listened to Richard's story and he's really genuine, you know, and I got a feeling I'm looking at my arms right now. I have cold chills, but when Jim was speaking and they got done, I literally had cold chills and I just could feel it. It was the place for me and everything I heard, it sounded great. Jim didn't push for money, you know, like a lot of these guys do.
Yeah.
So I knew that the intentions were on the right side. So I just knew it was a fit. And as soon as I joined and got in the Facebook group, everybody's been beyond helpful. Jen Shu, who is my AB director, she's been awesome mentor.
Oh, yeah. Jen's good. Yeah.
Man, she is. She's helped me. All right. I've been to 3 AB meetings so far. And so far, she's helped me already make serious changes in my business that's already making dividends. Like we had a problem with a CSR that we had. Jen had me let her go. She pointed out that was one of our issues. So we made that change. Making that one change, we have upped our weekly income by 15 grand or more a week.
Oh my gosh.
This one change. And I would have never thought at that time, I would have never thought a CSR had that much control over things, but they do. That's where it all starts.
It's funny. First of all, I agree with you. CSRs are routinely undervalued and they shouldn't be. But the other thing is it's always amazing. That's happened to me a couple times in my career. You fire somebody and it just changes everything for the better. It's so weird when that happens, right?
And then especially like before you do it, it's never fun to end somebody's career or job. It's never fun. You're affecting their family. You know, you're affecting everything. So it's never fun. But once you get it done, it's so relieving.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as much as Jen helped me get that done, I already knew it was a problem before she pointed it out to me. You know already. You just don't want to admit.
Yeah.
So Jen gave me that push I needed. And man, I tell you, the AB meetings has been worth their weight in gold. You know, not only working with Jen, but working with everybody else in the group who struggles as well. You know, you can feed off of each other.
It is amazing, though, the experience of working with other people who are doing similar things that you are, that have maybe faced the same problems you have, or you faced their problems before, and you work together and they hold you accountable. There is such power in that. It's amazing.
It is more than you would realize. And there's big power in, you know, communicating with the other members of the group. And I can tell, you know, after being in the group, I think I've been a month or two in now, just everybody that's been here doesn't leave. And that tells you right there that, you know, it's a good organization. People that don't want to leave, that means something's going right. I'm highly enjoying it so far.
Well, good. I know you were just working on your budget, and that process always makes you think about what you have to do in the coming year, how you're going to be able to do it, how you'll accomplish what you need to accomplish. So what are your immediate challenges this year?
I would say immediate challenges would be bringing in a service manager where I'm at right now. We had a rough year last year. I went through a marketing company that didn't do what they needed to do. We went backwards. I went from 9 vans on the road to 2 vans on the road.
Oh my gosh.
They didn't like that I was leaving and going to another company. So they turned off all my connecting phone numbers without us knowing. Did a lot of stuff we didn't know about until it was too late. So we got knocked down in Google's algorithm, which takes a solid year to get back. And now we're back to, I've got 7 trucks back running. I've still got 2 parked. So another challenge is going to be hiring 2 more techs to get in those other trucks. I'm always hiring. We're always recruiting, but I'm looking for the right fit for us from now on. It's one of the lessons I've learned in the past. The guy has to fit our culture here. So I'm really picky about who I bring in and put in the trucks now.
Yeah, that's a good way to be. I've been in the situation where I was so desperate to hire somebody that I would hire the first warm body that walked through the door. And, you know, that never worked out very well for me.
And I've been there too. You know, you want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And Of course, everybody that walks in is going to tell you they're the greatest. You know, they oversell themselves by 10 miles every time. And I had a bad habit, like you said, of falling for it. And I would stick them in a truck. And, you know, 3 months in, you find out who they really are. So that's what forced me to put systems in place to onboard correctly. And before we get them in a van, they do the ride-alongs. And we make sure they're a full fit before we hand them the keys to that van. Just systems and processes is something I've learned the hard way. You have to have. If you don't have some kind of system in place, then guys or gals do what they want to do. My ex-boss used to say, and I never understood it, he used to say, it's coloring books and crayons. Everything has to be simple and laid out, or they will take it and do it their own way. I mean, sometimes that does not fit what the company's trying to accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's one thing that stuck with me was coloring books and crayons.
I like the analogy. That's great. Got to keep it simple. So looking out into the future, 5 years or more into the future, what would you want for your company?
5 years, we actually sat down and did a 5-year goal. And right now we're pushing 2 million in sales. I would like to be somewhere in the 5 to 10 million range in 5 years. I also have aspirations of selling my business one day to, you know, spend time with my wife once this is all over. So that's also in my 5-year outlook. I don't know if I want to actually sell and leave. You know, I would kind of like to stay on for a while. And because, you know, this is your baby. You build your baby. You think about selling and, you know, I've had that thought a bunch of times, like, man, you're leaving what you struggled and bled and all this for. You're leaving it behind and giving it to somebody else. That's a really hard decision to make. So I think it'll take me all of a bit of 5 years to get used to doing that. Because I tell you, I know like a lot of other people have, I've poured a lot of blood, sweat and tears into this thing.
Yeah, the other thing is that when your company reaches a larger size, I'm not the only person who said this, Ron Smith agreed with me on this, is that it actually gets a little bit easier to run. It's certainly not as physically draining on you, but you've got other people to delegate to, and it actually becomes just a whole lot more fun. At least that was always the case for me. And I think you'll find the same thing.
I'm actually getting there now. I've been out of the truck about 2 years, 2.5 years. The first year I kind of bounced back and forth as I was needed. But this last year I've been solidly out of the truck. And you're right. Like, you know, what I was talking about with the CSR, to sit here during the day and look at numbers and watch your numbers bounce up and down and things that you can change to bring in more profit. It does become fun. I mean, it's a lot funner than getting out and drilling holes and shoveling dirt and everything else that comes with plumbing.
Yeah. For sure.
A lot less physically demanding.
Yeah. So you've been in our industry for a while, and you're a very successful person. You're going to be even more successful in the future. What advice would you have for a young person entering this profession?
This is one I think about a lot. Number one would be learning HVAC or plumbing or electrical. It's all very difficult. When you go into your job site the first day, you're looking at the total project and what they're doing. And it's overwhelming. It's like, I remember when I first got into plumbing, I went home that night and I told my wife, I don't know if I'm going to be able to learn this. There's so much to putting plumbing in that I don't know. So my biggest advice to a younger person would be to stick with it. Be willing to go the extra mile to learn. Our newest generation that's coming up, they're more, you know, and I don't blame them, but they're more money driven. And I believe that to get into the trades, you need to not be concerned more with the money as in learning the trade, you know, because the money will come. So that would be the biggest thing is the young guys, they come in and they get intimidated and they run off. So my biggest thing would be stick with it. It will come to you and you will learn.
And you will make money.
And you will make money. Yes.
Mike, this has been fantastic. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, and I'm looking forward to seeing how your company is going to grow, and maybe we'll get a chance to chat again in the future and hear your success stories.
Hey, I appreciate it. This has been a blast, and I have nothing but good things to say about Service Nation. I think that with their partnership in my business, we're going to take this thing as high as I can take it. So I have every bit of confidence that we're going to hit our 5 million at least in 5 years. But I know with you guys' help, we're going to get it done.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David again. Three quick notes. One, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. Two, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. Three, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.